Amen. Amen. That's a lot of fun. Well, look at Jeremiah chapter 6. I want you to notice one verse this afternoon. And we've had a lot of fun, but you know, there is an important thing about the old time way that we all never forget. Amen. And there is some important parts of the old fashioned way that God wants us to ask for. And this is what this passage is teaching. Jeremiah says to the children of Israel here in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. Look at verse number 16. And notice it says, actually verse 15 with it. Notice what it says. It says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Notice verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. And what's it say here? Ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessings in this afternoon, Lord, as we preach this thought, Lord, this afternoon of just asking for the old paths. And thank you for the fun that we've had together and the time that we've had today and just being together as God's people, enjoying some fellowship and food and good music. And Lord, thank you we can be together. And Lord, I just pray, though, that you bless as we look at your word this afternoon and use this simple thought in our hearts and our lives to make us what we ought to be, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah looked at the children of Israel and he said to them, he said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. He didn't say ask for the new paths. He said ask for the old ones. He didn't say just keep on going the way you're going. He said ask for the old paths. In other words, he's saying there's some good old things to get back to. There's some important things that we ought to make sure we're focused on. And he said, ask for them. Now, I think that's interesting. He said, ask for the old paths. Ask for the old paths. In other words, if you don't want something, you never ask for it, right? But if there's something you want, then you ask. Amen? And you ask. And so he's saying here that there are some old paths, some old ways that we ought to go to God and say, God, put those back in our lives. I think he means personal, but I think he also is talking about a church, and I think he's also talking about a nation to put these old paths back in our life. And I want to give just a few old paths that we need. The first old path we need to get back to is the old path of Bible preaching. The old path of Bible preaching. Take your Bible, hold your finger there, and go to 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1 with me. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 1. And I want you to see, see what God has ordained Bible preaching to accomplish. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 17. Notice here, the Apostle Paul says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to what? Preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. God does something through preaching. I like that. God does some things through old-fashioned preaching. Man, I got saved when a preacher was standing up preaching. I'll never forget. I was saved at the fourth night of a revival meeting, and an old-fashioned preacher was preaching, and I'll never forget when he talked, he'd spit. And I don't think he intended to, but the lights just kind of shined down, and as he was preaching, man, I mean, you could just see spit going, and I was glad I wasn't on the front row because I'd have gotten sprinkled on that afternoon, but I was sitting on the third row, and man, he started preaching, boy, and the more he preached, the hotter it got. Amen. And man, he started preaching, and woo, he was going at it. And you know what? God put conviction into my heart, and God burdened me. You know, I grew up in church, you know, I was Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead. Yeah. You know, you ever heard that saying before? But I was raised in a Baptist church. That doesn't mean I was saved.
Right. Amen.
Salvation and growing up in church can be two different things. Yeah. But I got saved that next night. I was under conviction. Man, I almost didn't walk the aisle. I almost hung onto that pew. But you know, preachers, they just know these things, and he just wiped something slippery on that pew, and man, my hand came off. I came forward. I got saved. You know how that happened? Through a preacher. Through a preacher. I want to say thank God for preachers.
Amen.
Thank God for preachers in our lives that have meant a lot. I have preachers in my life, two particular preachers that are passed away. Actually, this past year, both of them passed away. But I'll tell you what, their influence on my heart, I will never forget. Amen? And we need the old paths of Bible preaching. hey, listen, plays are fun. Teaching is good. There's a lot of things that are good. But, man, there's nothing like taking the Bible, rearing back, have an old-fashioned preacher just stand and preach away. I mean, preach up a storm. Make every gossip person in the church mad. Amen? Make every person who's running from God, make them want to come back to God.
Amen.
Nothing like an old-fashioned Bible preaching storm that just flurries up and just creates a whirlwind in the heart and causes us to turn to God. We need that. Preaching, God says, it's the power of God. And may I say, it ought to be Bible preaching. There's a lot of false teachers and a lot of false preachers out there who are teaching man's ways and entertainment philosophies and good things, and everything's happy, lovey-dovey, and good. But let me tell you something. There's just something about a preacher who just preaches the old-fashioned word, and just like an arrow of truth. He shoots that arrow, and man, it hits the heart. And you know what? If we're wise, we'll hear what God's trying to tell us.
Amen.
If we're wise.
Yeah.
If we're wise. And he said, you know, Bible preaching built this country. George Washington walked into a little Baptist church, according to history, a little Baptist church as he was traveling through. He heard an old-fashioned preacher, and George Washington heard Christ and received Christ.
Amen.
That was his own testimony as he was traveling. It had an effect. It still stirs the heart and changes lives, but only to those who heed it, only to those who hear it. But if you hear it and you want it, and God takes it and puts it in your heart, may I tell you what? You will be blessed beyond what you can ever think or what you could ever imagine. That's the preaching of the word. I thank God for it. The world looks at preaching as foolish. I mean, a preacher up here preaching up a storm, yelling, hollering, and spitting and screaming. The world looks at that as crazy. But God says, us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And so that's what he's saying. There's a second old path we ought to follow. A second old path to ask for. And that is an old path of prayer. An old path of prayer. You know, I think we do little praying in our world today. I don't think we do enough praying. And Jesus said, by prayer and supplication. Everything by prayer and supplication. Hey, God's saying the little things go to God in prayer, the big things go to God in prayer, and everything we should go to God in prayer. I can't help but look at this condition of this country and just see it going down the tubes fast. Man alive, people electing these crazy people. I mean, that Mr. Fetterman guy, who would vote for him? I don't know. There's no moral principles by which people decide who they're going to vote for anymore. Just whoever they think will give us the most stuff. Whatever they think will give us the most stuff, that's the person we vote for. Can I tell you what? Oh, listen, our country's in trouble when we start doing that. We need to get back in our country to deciding decisions and voting for people based on a moral and spiritual compass. Amen. And I'm afraid our world has lost their spiritual compass, because most people in this world, and sad to say, a lot of people just drifting away from God, doing their own thing, going their own way and hoping it all works out good. But it doesn't. It doesn't. I say our country needs to get back to the old-fashioned things of prayer. You know, the Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians that we are supposed to be praying for kings and for all them that are in authority. We're supposed to be praying for this president. Because if ever there's been a president in my lifetime that needs prayer, it's the one we've got up there right now. And it, may I tell you what? You remember that Abraham went to God and said, Lord, would you, he said, would you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? No, I'm thinking of somebody else. I'm thinking of the wrong person. Who is it? Abraham, yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I got my stories mixed up, amen? He said, you spare Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, for 40. He said, I can't find 40, would you spare it for 30? I'll spare it for 30. How about 20 righteous men? Couldn't find them. How about 10 righteous men? See, God doesn't look down on a country and look at all its technology and look at all the stuff that it has. He can make that. He's looking for righteous men. He wants just some righteous people, some people who really pray. I'll tell you, one of the men today that I really appreciate his prayer life is Brother Chadwick. Brother Chadwick prays, man, that preacher, he prays, he tells me, he prays for me every day. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. And I can't get off the phone with him, but what he doesn't want to pray with me. I tell you what, he's a man of prayer. We need to get back to that in our society today. We need to get back to you praying for me, me praying for you, you praying for everybody else. We need to get back to serious prayer. You know, the Bible says a righteous, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Turn over there real quick. Philippians chapter 4. Are you still awake? Yes, sir. Don't let that cake get to you yet. Amen. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, and that means don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, that's what it says. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. God said, pray for everything. Pray for everything. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. People say to me from time to time, I never get my prayers answered. Well, you never know. You never know. George Mueller prayed for his brother every day to be saved for 61 years. 61 years. When George Mueller died, at his funeral, his brother walked the aisle and got saved. Amen. Don't tell me God didn't hear those prayers. Amen? You say, well, why does God make us pray so much? Because we need it so much. Yeah. Amen? Prayer is just as good for the one praying as it is the one that's being prayed for. Amen? And so it's prayer changes things. You know, prayer heals things. Did you know that? Prayer heals things. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Go over there for just a minute. Prayer heals things. James chapter 5. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be what? Healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There's spiritual healing and there's physical healing in prayer. Amen? God teaches us to go to the Lord in prayer. See, when we're praying, we're acknowledging that God is the one who can answer the prayer. It is honoring to God to hear that we are not dependent on ourselves, but that we are dependent on God.
Amen.
God likes to be depended on. God likes to be trusted. He doesn't want man to be independent. You remember the Tower of Babel when man was building this tower to heaven on their own? God destroyed it and scattered all the people and scattered all the languages throughout the world because he didn't want man building towers to God. He wanted men's hearts to turn back to God. Amen. And so prayer heals things. Prayer, thirdly, draws us close to God and draws us close to others. Hey, if you ever have a problem with somebody or just have a difficulty with somebody in your Christian life, can I tell you the remedy? Pray for them. You say, somebody really irritates me. Now, I know that wouldn't happen to any of you folks. Somebody really gets under my skin, preacher. You know what you ought to do? Pray for them every day. Amen. Why? Because there's a power in prayer. There's a power in prayer. Let me say thirdly, the third old path Paul asked for is the pathway of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. I'll tell you what, in my lifetime, I've heard all kinds of crazy doctrines come across, ideologies and philosophies, entertainment philosophies, and just the next crazy thing come along. Turn on your television set tomorrow and it'll come along. Crazy. People believe in weird things and weird ideas today. And God doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to be a people of sound doctrine. It's an old path that we ought to ask for. Look, if you would, at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look over there real quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm having you turn there because I want you to stay awake. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Notice verse 3. The Bible says here, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. But notice verse 5, perverse disputings of men, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. God's saying, be solid in your doctrine. Know your doctrine. Study doctrine. We need to know the doctrine of God, the doctrine of man, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of last days. We need to know the doctrines of the Bible and study them so we can be sound doctrine. Hebrews chapter 13. Go over there real quickly. Hebrews, just a few pages over. Hebrews 13. And look at verse number 9. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 9. Notice the Bible says here, be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof we have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. And then it goes on and talks about how Jesus is that tabernacle that we ought to serve. But he's saying that Jesus is the basis of our foundation of doctrine. He said, don't get involved in some weird, strange, diverse doctrine. Man, there's weird stuff all around you. And the devil uses it to suck people in. But I don't know about you, but if it's weird, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Amen? But if it's in the Bible, and it's solidly in the Bible, not twisted.
Right.
Because some people twist the Bible, you know? But If it's really solidly given in God's word, then we ought to hold to it. We ought to ask for that old path. Lord, make me solid in my doctrine. It's an old path that we ought to ask for. I like this one. Number four is the old path of church fellowship. I like that. That's an old, good old path. You know, I like it. Churches, God's people ought to depend on God's people and love God's people. Amen? From the youngest to the oldest, we all ought to love each other and treat each other good. Notice the early church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. Go over there. Acts chapter 2 and look at verse number 46. Notice it says here, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking a bread from house to house, did eat their meat with singleness, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Sounds like they had a good time. Amen. They were breaking a bread from house to house. Listen, they didn't just have potluck. They went from one house, had potluck, then they went to the next house, had potluck. They had to have been Baptist. There's no doubt about it.
Amen.
No, but what is it saying? It's saying that they had good fellowship. Amen? And they love the Lord. I love good fellowship. Amen? There's nothing like being around God's people. You know, sometimes you come into church and you've had a bad week. And you walk in that door, and someone shakes your hand and puts a smile on your hand. A smile on your hand. I'm tired. I'm more tired than you are, right? You know what I meant. Well, they put a smile on their face and put a hand in your hand, right? Shake your hand. It feels good, doesn't it? It's a blessing to know that someone's in the fellowship. Then the next week you switch. You're on top, and that other person walks in the door, and they've had a bad week. And you put your hand in their hand and shake their hand and smile. You know what it says? It says, we can do this together. We can serve the Lord together. Amen. Now, I'm not encouraging you to have a bad week. Amen. But always remember this. When someone else walks in the church door, they might have had a bad week. They might have had a bad week. Or they might have had some bad news that week. And so the point of a church is that we need each other. When one's weak, the other's strong. When one's strong, the other's weak. And it just has a way of keeping us encouraged in the Lord. Well, you're tired, I know, so let me give you the last one. That's found in Ephesians chapter 5. So go over there, Ephesians chapter number 5. And this is the old path of holy living. The old path of holy living. You know, holy living is, man, it's not important anymore to so many people. It's just not important. And preachers don't preach on it. You know, the old-fashioned preacher used to preach on it, that we ought to live holy. And the Bible teaches it. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 27. The Bible says here that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, God's people ought to be holy and without blemish. The context of the passage is marriage and in our homes and in our lives. But it also has to do with, it also can apply to us as individuals, that we are to live holy lives. God wants us to live holy life. The old path is to live holy. Live holy. Not just Sunday, but every day of the week. When you get bad news or when you're tempted, you decide to live holy for God. That's important. We all live holy because those old paths are what we're supposed to ask for. Jeremiah told the children of Israel, hey, ask for that way. That's the good way. That's the way to walk. That's the good path. You know? And he's saying, all right, ask for the good way. Wherein is that good way? That's the way of the old paths. Amen. You know, the world has influenced the church today, but it should be the church that influences the world. We're the light of the world. We're the light. If you got Christ, he's the light of the world. If he you have him in you, then he's in you. And God says we're not supposed to be changed by, don't let the darkness snuff out the light. The light should shine in the darkness. And this whole world's got it, we got it all backwards sometimes as Christianity. And you say, well, if I let my light shine, the world's going to persecute me a little bit. Well, they may a little bit. But, you know, what kind of Christians are we if we can't handle a little bit of persecution for loving the Lord? Amen? How deep is our love for God? How strong is our faith in him? So God's saying, live holy. Live clean. It doesn't mean that you're better than anybody. We're no better than anybody. But I'll tell you what. If the Lord is inside of you, that light needs to shine to the world. It's the old path that we need to ask for. It's holy living. It's holy living. There should be things in our life, little by little, that we give up to God, that we come on this altar and give up to God. I don't know how many times I've had to come and give things to God on the altar. And by the way, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did because I didn't need them in my life. But as I gave those things up to God, and I've seen others do the same, their life has blossomed and been blessed. And not because they followed new paths, but because they followed old paths. Amen. What a blessing. So I'm saying today, as Jeremiah told the children of Israel, he said, hey, there's an old path to look after, to ask God for it. Oh, listen, I tell you, you know, there's a lot of old paths we need to follow. The music today, it can leave us unholy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The television, the internet, I tell you, some of those things can cause us to turn our hearts away and become unholy. But God's teaching us to ask for those old paths. Hey, ask for the old ways, not just the new. Boy, the new stuff is a dime a dozen, and they're coming out with some new idea every day. But I want to tell you something. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the old paths. That's where it really, really is all about, those old paths. Hey, let's stick to the old ways. Let's stick to some of those old paths. Let's just keep asking for the old paths. Amen. And trust God in our world, our homes, our families, our lives, that God will bless us in those old paths. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes.